Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies.
Hello, and welcome to this latest in the OIES podcast series. This podcast is being brought to you by the GAS programme. My name's James Henderson. I'm head of the GAS programme, and we're recording this on the 6th of March in the morning UK time. Now, I'm here today with my colleague Mustafa Uki, who has just written a comment on Italy and its North African gas interconnections and the potential for a new Mediterranean gas hub. And we're going to discuss that and its implications today. So, Mustafa, welcome back to the podcast.
Nice to be here, Jim. Thanks.
Okay, well, let's get straight on with it. And let's have a little bit of context to start with, if we may. Could you tell us a little bit about the current internet connections between North Africa and Europe? I know we're going to focus on Italy today, but perhaps you could give us a general sweep of the interconnections. What are the key pipelines? Where are the flows? And which are the countries who are involved?
Yes, Jim. Starting with the western part, Algeria is connected to Europe through initially two cross-border gas pipelines, the gas Maghreb Europe, which is no longer operating at the moment, and the Medgas line, which is a direct link between Algeria and Spain. That line, the direct line, has a capacity of initially 8 BCM, and then now it's about 10.5 BCM per annum. Looking at the eastern part, Italy and its interconnection with North Africa, I'll start with Algeria. Algeria is connected to southern Italy through a cross-border gas pipeline, which goes via Tunisia. And that line has a capacity of 33 BCM. When I say line, it has several lines, not only one line, 33 BCM. And it has been in operation, commercial operation, since the summer of 1983. On the Libyan side, there is the Green Stream gas pipeline linking Libya's western field to Gela in Sicily, Italy. Now, the Green Stream pipeline has a capacity of 8 BCM and started up in 2004. Now, in terms of flows, starting with the Algerian one, if you look at 2022, Algeria exported 22 BCM of gas to Italy, and Libya exported about 3 BCM through the Green Stream pipeline. So that's the situation in terms of infrastructure and flows.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to come back to the question of Italy and this Mediterranean gas hub in just a second. But before we go there, obviously, the North African exporters don't just export, they have significant domestic gas demand as well. Can you just tell us a little bit about how that's been developing and how that's impacted the availability of gas for export to date?
Oh, that's indeed, that's a very important point. And in fact, you know, domestic gas demand is a key constraining factor for export, whether you're talking about the Maghreb part or as far as Egypt. In terms of number, if you look at Algeria, if you look at number, domestic gas consumption represents something like about 50% of the country's or Algeria marketed gas production. Go further east, Libya, in recent years, its domestic gas use accounted for over 60% of marketed production. If you move even further east, if you look at Egypt, in Egypt, the share is even higher. Domestic gas consumption account for 90% of marketed production. So it has a very, I mean, domestic demand has a key impact on availability of gas volumes for exports. But if you look at Algeria, compare Algeria and Libya, or even Egypt, if you look at the size of the market, if you look at Egypt, this is 100 million people market. Algeria, 45 million market. Libya is about 7 million, and it has, at the moment, the fourth largest reserves of natural gas. So the impact will be different, but definitely for Algeria and Egypt, domestic gas use is a key constraining factor for potential exports.
And I know you've written about this before, but clearly subsidized gas prices play a major role there. Just briefly, do we expect domestic demand to continue to rise and be a constraining factor, or is there anything being done about those subsidized prices?
Actually, that's a very good point of question, Jim. It will continue to grow, but I believe that the growth is going to be lower than what we have seen in the past. Why? It's not going to happen overnight, but at some stage we'll see reforms, domestic gas price reform being put in place. In the very, I would say, in the long term, we could see also some diversification of the energy mix. But to give you a quick answer with respect to current energy prices, I don't think you will see major reform. It's just that the impact of economic factors will be in such a way that we may not see the same demand growth rate as we have seen in the past.
Okay. Well, look, let's come on to the export side then. I mean, clearly the Ukraine crisis has caused the EU to look for alternative sources of exports. North Africa's been a source of exports for a while, a source of imports to the EU. So how has the past 12 months and the war in Ukraine impacted North Africa?
Yeah, what we have seen some key European gas importers, you know, undertaking high-ranking official visit to Algeria, Libya, Egypt, and other African countries, actually, which are producing or has the potential to produce gas, to discuss potential incremental exports of gas or new gas export altogether. In terms of the impact or how a North African gas producer, I have to say, this unexpected interest by European countries in North African gas has a bit, you know, taken these North African countries by surprise. But of course, you know, there is now the reaction is it has led to cautious regain of confidence in gas. And I emphasize prudent regain of confidence in gas and the focus on how they can expand gas export to Europe.
Okay, I mean, just focusing in a little bit more, your comment obviously has highlighted the fact that Italy's been particularly active in its energy diplomacy in the region. Can you tell us exactly what's been happening with the Italians in North Africa?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. If you look at 2022 and the beginning of 2023, Italy conducted three prime ministerial visits to Algeria and one to Libya. Now, we have to be careful. We have to keep in mind that if you look at the Italian and North African energy relationship, it is a quite a long and established one, and it's something which has been established over several decades. So it's not something new. But the recent official activity focused on gas import in terms of the development of an energy hub between Italy and possibly Europe and its southern Mediterranean neighbor in North Africa. So there is this focus from the Italian government and the North African government to try to develop this energy hub and, in our case, the focus on natural gas.
Okay. So as we sort of see that progressing with the Italian involvement, as you've said, what specifically has been agreed, if anything, about kind of in Italian investment in North Africa?
Oh, I mean, in terms of investment, there is this $8 billion project that Eni signed with Libya's NOCs for development of what they call the Structure A and E in Libya. With the potential to produce something like, I think, 8 BCM per annum at the plateau. So that's quite a major investment in North Africa and Libya, precisely. And in Algeria, Eni has been quite active in terms of, you know, project development, even beyond expanding beyond gas and renewable, but that's a different debate. So major investment, major recent investment agreed recently in Libya, and continued presence and involvement in project development in the energy sector of Algeria. So there is something which is It's a kind of commitment that has been, as I said, I would like to emphasize, this is not a new development. Eni has been active in those areas for a very long time.
Okay, and just sort of one supplementary question, if I may. We're focusing on Italy here, but are any other European countries looking to be involved in the region, or is Italy's geographical position really meaning it's the main country involved?
Obviously, Italy is the main focus, but recently Algeria signed a contract, a small short-term contract with Slovenia. If I remember well, I think it's 3 BCM per annum to supply gas to Slovenia. In fact, Slovenia was an importer of Algeria, maybe not directly Algerian molecules, but had a contract with Algeria. I think it stopped in 2012, I think, not 100% sure, but Slovenia is another market that is, it's a small market that is importing gas through the Transmed via Italy. But again, it's Italy the main focus at the moment.
Okay. Your comment talks about the politics and clearly the Italian involvement. But on the flip side, the political risks in North Africa are clearly not insignificant. You've mentioned Libya already. Is there a risk that the EU is just switching one high-risk source of gas for another? And how do you see that kind of balance playing into the confidence, both from a supply and a demand side in North African gas?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a risk associated with the international or cross-border energy transaction, especially when energy is supplied from non-OECD countries. And yes, the EU may decide at some stage, or the EU or Europe may decide at some stage to focus its import from what we'd call friendly and allied source of gas supply. But there are different level of risk here. We're talking about risk, but there are different level of risk and how these risks are perceived and mitigated by different stakeholders. You see that some companies or some government actually are more averse to this risk than others. Some are better at managing these risks. So you have a different thing. But yes, it is an issue. And but I would put it in a different way as well. North Africa also looks at Europe as the key market, the only market. When it comes to pipeline, that's the only market. There are no non-European offtakes on the Transmed or the Green Stream or the Med Gas. So they are concerned about demand in that part of the world. But at the end of the day, it's a question of how you mitigate the risk. That's my personal view. It's how you mitigate the risk. Some companies are more or less averse to this risk, and it will have an impact on how much is exported or how much is reduced in terms of exports.
Okay. I mean, in your comment, you talk about there being the potential for an extra 15 BCM of gas from North Africa. I think the breakdown is 9 from Algeria and 6 from Libya. Can you just expand on that a little bit more? And how's that 9 being generated in Algeria, and what's the source of the 6 in Libya?
Yeah. I mean, again, I said, if everything goes according to plan, the potential is to get between 10 and 15. And that includes, as I said, the 9 BCM for the Italian market, as agreed last year between the Algerian and the Italian. And 6 BCM from Libya, and that's from the main project that has been launched this year. Now I'm talking, it's important to look at the period. We're talking about, maybe the next 5 years. So that's what it is. In Algeria, it will come from new field commissioning. There have been, fields which have been delayed. So it's mainly from new fields, existing discoveries that are being developed. A key point to make here, this is from existing operation or discoveries or fields which have been developed. Now, if we talk about much bigger level of gas export over a longer period of time, obviously that will require investment, international upstream investment and development.
Okay, well, I mean, it's interesting you've brought up that the question of timescale and the next kind of 5 years, where I guess demand in Europe is relatively secure, particularly as imports from Russia continue to remain low. But obviously, in the longer term, there's the question of the energy transition. You mentioned kind of confidence amongst, well, North African suppliers going up a little bit, although they're a little surprised in you know, the increased European interest in methane from North Africa. What do you think about the risk that North African countries kind of commit to more supply, but then see demand going into decline post-2030 in Europe?
This is a fundamental issue in terms of investment or future investment, long-term investment. I mean, although the war in the Ukraine and the collapse of Russian gas supplies to Europe have provided this, what we'd call short to medium-term opportunity for North African gas to be exported to Europe, there's no doubt that in the long term, EU or Europe remains committed to the decarbonization of its energy market. And therefore, you know, when you look at the North African gas pipeline exporter, the situation, the long-term situation of the European gas market is of paramount concern. And we're not talking about a scenario where zero gas. We're talking about the magnitude of the decline in European gas demand. That is what is important, because if you're talking about, you know, volumes, talking about new investment, especially in new areas, because so far everything has been done or developed from existing discoveries, delayed field, etc. So this is a new development, looking at areas where they can develop resources, prove up additional reserves. So that's important. Right now, there are a lot of uncertainties about the level of gas demand, the future level of gas demand in Europe. And that is a major concern for North African players. Not only North African, because we may think North African governments, I'm not talking about North African governments only, talking about all the stakeholders that could be involved in the development of North African gas supplies, going from Algeria all the way to Egypt. So that's a major thing. Right now, we see a lot of confidence, but we haven't seen major long-term commitment. Maybe the Italian investment in Libya is different, but overall, there's still concern about the future demand for gas in Europe.
Okay. I mean, on a more positive note, you also mentioned in your comment about some of the pipelines being made hydrogen ready, or, you know, green gas ready. What do you think the potential is for North Africa to export kind of decarbonized gases, in particular hydrogen, of course?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. If you look at what has been happening in terms of decarbonized gas, and more specifically hydrogen, you see that been several low carbon hydrogen, blue and green projects that have been announced in all the North African countries. I think the exception is Libya. To me, it's a positive development. It reemphasizes the importance of energy clean energy transition in those countries, and it put it, you know, in the top of the government's agenda. But the implementation schedule and the scale of this hydrogen project, low carbon hydrogen project, they need to be realistic. You are in a region where clean electrification or level of clean electrification is very low. And I'm not talking only about installed solar or wind capacity that's just installed. I'm talking about gigawatt hour generated. Right now, North Africa is dominated by fossil fuel generated electricity. So that's important. So before talking about, you know, this hydrogen project, especially the green hydrogen, which will require a huge amount of electrolyzer capacity and renewable energy capacity, I think it's important to look at the priority, which is clean electrification. And there is the issue of limited funding. I mean, there's no funding at the moment, and we haven't seen any commitment or firm commitment for this project. The scale of this hydrogen project is very important. If you look at the initial EU requirement or proposition, was to have something like 40 gigawatt of electrolyzer capacity between North Africa and Ukraine. Right now, obviously it will be mainly from North Africa. So you're talking about, in terms of investment, you could be talking about $20, $30 billion. So that's huge. So to sum up, it's a positive development, but to talk about hydrogen exports at the moment, it could be a bit premature. So I see it as a long-term objective, a long-term option for North Africa.
Okay, great. I mean, before we come to the sort of the nub of the argument around the hub for Mediterranean gas in Italy, let me just bring in a topic we haven't really mentioned, because we haven't really talked about Egypt that much yet, and East Med gas as well. So just briefly, you know, the potential for gas from the East Med, Israel, Lebanon, other Cyprus perhaps, via Egypt, the potential for Egypt, Egyptian LNG to rebound. What have you got to say about that?
Right now, the main players in the East Med area are Israel with its Leviathan and Tamar gas field, and the potential to expand it. In fact, you know, they're looking at the potential for expansion. You have Egypt with its large or relatively large gas infrastructure in the region, and the commercial players. One thing that we I would say journalists, maybe analysts, tend to ignore is they seem to focus on government or political declaration. What is important is the investment in expanding the potential supply, the infrastructure. I mean, recently we have heard some positive news. You know, there is some move or progress with respect to the development of an FLNG project in Israel that will have LNG with potential export to Europe. But in terms of what I would say, you know, the short to medium term, it remains very limited. It will depend on how much gas will be made available for Egypt to export. As you know, Egypt has been reducing its consumption of natural gas, in fact, switching to liquids in its power plant to be able to release gas. So overall, yes, the East Med has, in terms of reserves and resources, it has the potential to be another major source of gas supply to Europe or other areas. But at the moment, you have some constraints that will make it difficult to add the gas or to export a lot of gas to Europe from the existing sources and infrastructure.
Okay, interesting. Well, it's a topic that we're covering in ongoing research at the Institute. So I'm no doubt we'll have another more detailed podcast on that topic later in the year. But let's conclude this one then by looking at the conclusions of your comment and asking that question, you know, could Italy become a key hub for Mediterranean gas and in, you know, not just pipeline, but LNG? What do you think the outlook is for that?
What is important is look at the facts. What is happening? We have heard a lot of political declaration, MOUs, etc. But we see some progress on the ground. And we see that Italy and its southern Mediterranean neighbor are deploying a lot of effort to expand North African gas supplies to Europe. And again, I'd like to reiterate, you know, what has been invested or the launching of a major upstream development in Libya, the continued investment in Algeria. So we see some progress happening in that part of the world. And that's a good sign because it will provide Europe with a diversified energy portfolio. It will strengthen also the energy cooperation between the two sides of the Mediterranean. So finally, what I can say, the potential for a mid-med gas hub to emerge does exist. But some key challenges and uncertainties need to be addressed, as we discussed earlier.
Okay, well, Mustafa, thanks very much indeed for that. We'll conclude on that point. It's a really interesting comment, and I would encourage our listeners to go and download it from our website, where you can find all our gas and indeed other energy transition research. But for now, Mustafa, thank you very much indeed for your contribution today. Thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. Please stay healthy and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies. You can find other podcasts, as well as our written research, on our website at www.oxfordenergy.org. If you would like more details about our energy transition, gas, oil, electricity, or China research programs, then please contact us at information@oxfordenergy.org.